Hello, I'm Joseph Kasser, and welcome to this podcast where the AI team does a deep dive into some application of systems thinking.
Welcome, listeners, to a deep dive that might just make you rethink how you view holiday traditions. We're about to explore Christmas, but not your typical Christmas. We're going to take a look at how this holiday might be celebrated if it was reimagined through a Jewish lens. Our guide for this rather unusual journey is a humorous book called Conceptual Laws and Customs of Christmas, According to the Imaginary Rights of the Jews in the United States of America.
This book, it's a really clever look at how traditions can, you know, be adapted and reinterpreted. It imagines Christmas with all the detailed rules and debates that you might find in Jewish law, like the Talmud.
So we're talking about like kosher pine trees and the correct way to switch on those Christmas lights.
Yeah, exactly. It covers all kinds of scenarios, often with a humorous twist, of course. For example, you might be surprised to hear that according to this book, you can't even start prepping for Christmas until Thanksgiving is over.
Oh, that's interesting. It's like how in some Jewish traditions, there's a clear separation between holidays and observances. You don't want to mix things up or get ahead of yourself with the festivities.
Right. And this book, it takes that idea and goes even further by making a distinction between public and private preparations, like buying gifts early, no problem, but putting up your Christmas lights before Thanksgiving. That's a big no-no, at least in this humorous take on things.
Now, this idea of public versus private observance, could you tell us a bit more about how that works in Jewish tradition?
Sure. In Jewish law, there's often a difference between mitzvot or commandments that you do privately versus those that are done, you know, publicly. For instance, some prayers are said by yourself, while others are said together in the synagogue. This difference shows the idea that some rituals are meant to be, well, shared and seen by the community, while others are more personal and inward-looking.
So the book is kind of playing with this idea, but applying it to getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. It's taking a concept from Jewish tradition and using it to create these funny rules for celebrating Christmas.
I got to ask about the Christmas tree. I'm guessing there are some pretty specific rules about that.
Oh, absolutely. According to the book, only trees with needles are seen as kosher for Christmas. So pine, fir, spruce, those are all good choices. No leafy trees allowed.
So you're saying my dream of a giant decorated oak tree is out of the question.
I'm afraid so. The book even gets into how fresh the tree should be. You want a tree that's, you know, vibrant, but not one that's dropping needles all over the place.
It's like trying to find that perfect avocado at the store, you know, ripe, but not too ripe. Okay, so we've got the right type of tree. It's the perfect level of freshness. What else should we know?
Well, there's this rather interesting rule about where the tree comes from. The book makes it very clear that a stolen tree is a no-go.
So Santa better have all his paperwork in order when he's picking out trees. No legal issues in this Jewish Christmas.
Exactly. And it goes even further, talking about how tall the tree can be. There are actually different schools of thought in the book about whether the size of the tree even matters. This is where this whole concept of Talmudic debate comes in.
Okay, could you explain what Talmudic debate is for those of us who might not be familiar? And how does it apply to how tall a Christmas tree is?
It's a fascinating concept. Imagine scholars debating the finer points of a legal text. In the Jewish tradition, the Talmud is a collection of discussions and interpretations of Jewish law by rabbis. So when the book talks about these different opinions on height of the Christmas tree, it's mimicking that tradition of debate and nuanced understanding.
So you're saying there could be like rabbis arguing about whether a 6-foot tree is more spiritually appropriate than a 7-foot tree. That's a pretty funny image.
Right. It shows how playful and satirical this book is. But beyond the humor, it gives you a peek into this rich tradition of debate and interpretation that's a part of Judaism. It's not about having a right or wrong answer. It's about looking at different perspectives and interpretations.
That's actually really fascinating. It makes you think about how traditions can have so many different interpretations.
And that's one of the things that makes this book so interesting. It takes a holiday like Christmas, which has its own traditions and meanings, and then reimagines it through this completely different cultural perspective.
Okay, so now we have our kosher tree, and maybe we've even, you know, decided on the perfect height. What's next in this Jewish Christmas celebration?
Well, of course, we can't forget about the lights. The book actually talks about the history of Christmas lights from the early days of oil and candles all the way to the modern day discussions about those energy-efficient bulbs.
So it's not just about putting up any old lights. There's a whole backstory and even some modern-day things to think about woven in.
Exactly. And as you might expect, there's a very specific lighting ceremony in the book. The wife is supposed to say a blessing as they turn on the tree lights, and everyone has to raise their hands above their shoulders while saying, Amen.
I can already picture that scene. A family all gathered around the tree, hands raised, saying Amen. It's this interesting mix of ritual and togetherness. What's the significance of all those details?
Well, this attention to detail and ritual is pretty typical in Jewish practice. Even simple everyday actions often have religious meaning and specific instructions attached to them.
So in a way, the book is kind of making fun of that meticulousness by applying it to Christmas traditions.
Yeah, there's definitely some satire there.
Yeah.
But it also shows how traditions can be adapted and reinterpreted in ways that, well, that might seem surprising or even funny.
Speaking of traditions, what about gift giving? That's a huge part of Christmas, at least how we usually think of it.
Oh, the book definitely talks about gift giving. In fact, it says that buying gifts for everyone, even if you have to go into debt, is a mitzvah.
Wait, a mitzvah. So in this version of Christmas, it's like a commandment to shower everyone with gifts. That's
right.
Quite a twist.
It is. But remember, the book is using humor to explore these ideas.
Yeah.
It's making fun of how commercialized Christmas has become, while also showing how much emphasis Judaism puts on generosity, especially within families and the community.
Okay, that makes sense. It's like playing with those different cultural values and seeing how they might clash or blend together in this reimagined holiday. So we've covered getting ready for Christmas, picking the tree, lighting it, and even how important gift giving is. What other parts of Christmas does the book look at through this Jewish lens?
Well, it wouldn't be Christmas without some festive feasting, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the book has a lot to say about food.
This is where things get really interesting. I'm ready to hear all about this Jewish Christmas menu.
Oh, get ready for a real feast.
Mm.
Because the book describes this huge multi-course meal. We're talking Christmas Eve dinner with tons of sausage. Ideally, you'd have 12 different kinds to represent the 12 days of Christmas.
12 kinds of fish. That's a lot of seafood. I'm guessing this isn't your typical Christmas ham. What's the reasoning behind fish in this context?
Well, it's this really clever blend of symbolism, actually. Fish is important in early Christianity, and it also represents prosperity in some cultures.
Yeah.
So the book is mixing those ideas with Jewish food traditions to create this unique Christmas Eve meal.
So it's not just, you know, picking any random fish. There's a deeper meaning behind it. It sounds like this Jewish Christmas is full of these unexpected combinations of traditions. So what comes after this fish feast?
Well, no holiday celebration would be complete without some festive drinks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the book talks about eggnog. And even gives blessings and recipes for different Jewish communities.
Eggnog blessings. I love it. Sounds like they've thought of everything. We've got Christmas Eve all figured out. But what about the main event, Christmas Day?
Christmas Day just wouldn't be the same without a big feast. And the book doesn't disappoint. We're talking turkey as the main dish with cranberry sauce as a must-have side.
Cranberry sauce is non-negotiable. That's quite a statement. What makes cranberry sauce so important in this Jewish Christmas?
It's kind of a funny take on those classic Christmas dishes that everyone expects, you know, the ones that just wouldn't be the same without them.
It makes me think about how food is such a big part of so many cultural traditions, including Jewish holidays. There's always a special dish or a certain way of preparing food that connects people to their heritage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Food is, it's more than just something you eat. It's a way of connecting with family, history, and your cultural identity.
Hmm.
And this book really emphasizes that by weaving these food traditions into this reimagined Christmas celebration.
Okay, I have to ask about something that's been on my mind since we started talking about this book. Does Santa Claus make an appearance in this Jewish Christmas?
That's a great question. The book actually addresses this age-old question of whether Santa Claus is real.
What's the verdict? Do we have a Jewish Santa Claus?
According to the book, yes. And the authors even give evidence in the form of a 19th century newspaper article and a made-up court case. It's all very tongue-in-cheek, of course.
So how does this Jewish Santa operate? Does he still come down the chimney?
Well, the book suggests that Santa's like the head candy man for all the local synagogues. It's a way of fitting Santa Claus into a Jewish context, but with a humorous twist.
That's a clever way to bring those two traditions together. Speaking of the synagogue, does the book talk about how Christmas would be celebrated in a Jewish community setting?
Oh, definitely. There's a whole section about Christmas-themed synagogue services with instructions for including carols and reciting specific psalms.
Christmas carols in the synagogue. That's not something you hear every day. It sounds like the book is really committed to this idea of mixing traditions.
It is. Yeah. It even has a memorial prayer for St. Nicholas. It's a really interesting example of how the book seamlessly blends parts of Christmas into a Jewish setting. It creates this unique combination of customs.
It's like a cultural mashup, borrowing from different traditions to create something new and unexpected. And I love that it's all done with a sense of humor. It doesn't feel forced or preachy at all. It's just a fun way of exploring how traditions can be reimagined.
Does the book talk about any potential confusion between Christmas and Hanukkah, you know, since they often happen around the same time of year?
Yes, it definitely makes it clear that those two holidays are separate. It says that Christmas, as imagined in the book, is a time for shopping and cheer all over the world, while Hanukkah is about remembering the rededication of the Second Temple in Jerusalem.
So we're not merging the holidays. We're keeping those original meanings and origins separate.
Exactly. It's about exploring how a different culture might adapt a holiday, not about getting rid of or mixing existing ones. This whole conversation has really made me think about how we often see these holidays as very separate. Christmas is over here, Hanukkah's over there. But this book kind of blurs those lines in a really interesting and fun way.
It does. It shows that there's room for creativity and reinterpretation, even when it comes to traditions that have been around for a long time. Now, here's something that might surprise you about what the book says about Hanukkah. It actually says that giving gifts on Hanukkah isn't actually required.
Wait, what? No Hanukkah gifts, but that's like a whole thing.
I know, right? It's become such a big part of how we celebrate today. But the book points out that gift-giving is more of a Christmas tradition. Hanukkah is about celebrating the miracle of the oil, the rededication of the temple. The focus is on the historical and religious meaning, not on exchanging presents.
That's actually a really interesting point. It makes you think about how commercialism has changed the way we celebrate holidays, even ones that weren't originally about giving gifts. So we've got this Jewish Christmas with kosher pine trees, eggnog blessings, and even a Santa Claus who brings candy to the synagogue. It's been quite a journey. But what about the book itself? What are some of the key takeaways beyond all these funny scenarios?
I think one of the most important things the book does is show how fluid traditions really are. It shows how cultures can interact, borrow from each other, and reimagine familiar customs in surprising ways.
It's like a reminder that traditions aren't fixed. They change and adapt as cultures meet and influence each other. And sometimes that process can lead to some pretty funny outcomes, like the ones we've been talking about today.
Exactly. It reminds us that there's always room for new perspectives and interpretations, even when it comes to something that seems as set in stone as a holiday tradition.
Hmm.
And using humor as a tool allows the authors to explore those ideas in a way that's both insightful and entertaining.
Speaking of new perspectives, the book takes this idea of reimagining traditions even further. It doesn't just stop at Christmas.
Right. It asks this really interesting question. What other holidays or traditions could be reimagined through a different cultural lens?
What would Thanksgiving look like from a Buddhist perspective, or Ramadan through a Hindu lens?
The possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
And that's what's so great about this book. It makes us curious and encourages us to think outside the box, to consider how cultural exchange can lead to new and unexpected interpretations of these traditions that have been around for so long.
It's like a mental puzzle, challenging us to step outside of our own cultural perspectives and see things from a completely different angle.
And that kind of thinking can be really valuable, especially in a world where cultures are constantly interacting and influencing each other.
Well, we've explored the kosher Christmas tree. We've debated the ideal height. We've learned about eggnog blessings. And we've even met a synagogue-going Santa Claus. This has been a really fun and insightful look at Christmas through a Jewish lens.
I totally agree. It's been a great reminder that traditions are living, breathing things. They're capable of change, adaptation, and even a good dose of humor.
You know, as we've been talking about all these funny scenarios and reimagined traditions, it's really made me think about the assumptions we often have about holidays. We tend to see them as like fixed and unchanging, but this book really challenges that.
It definitely shakes things up. It's like it's holding a mirror up to our own cultural biases and asking, hey, have you ever thought about doing things differently?
It's like a cultural thought experiment. What if we took the main parts of Christmas, the decorations, the gift giving, the feasting, and looked at them through a completely different cultural lens? What would stay the same and what would be totally different?
And I think that's where the real value of this book is. It's not just about the jokes, although there are definitely a lot of those. It's about getting us to think more critically about our own traditions and how other people might see them.
It makes me wonder how someone from a completely different culture would react to our Christmas traditions. Would they think they're strange or heartwarming or maybe just confusing?
It's an interesting way to try and see things from someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
Imagine trying to explain like the elf on the shelf to someone who doesn't know anything about Christmas. It'd probably sound really weird to them.
Or trying to explain why fruitcake is a thing to someone who's never had it. Some of our most beloved traditions might seem completely alien to someone outside of our culture.
Exactly. And that's why I think this book is so important. It encourages us to step outside of our own cultural bubble and think about how other people might see our traditions. It helps us be more empathetic and understanding by showing us how diverse human experiences can be.
This book playfully reimagines Christmas through a Jewish lens. But the ideas it explores go way beyond that. It makes you think about how all traditions, religious or not, can be interpreted and adapted in different ways.
Absolutely. Traditions are always changing. They're shaped by history, culture, and even how individuals understand them. This book just kind of amplifies that process, but in a funny and thought-provoking way.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the conceptual laws and customs of Christmas, according to the imaginary rights of the Jews in the United States of America, what's the one big thing you want listeners to think about?
I think the most important thing to remember is that tradition is a journey, not a destination. It's this ongoing process of interpretation, adaptation, and cultural exchange. And as this book shows us, that process can be both insightful and hilarious.
Well said. It's a reminder to approach all traditions, even our own, with a sense of curiosity and open-mindedness. There's always something new to learn, even in the customs we're most familiar with. So thanks for joining us on this festive deep dive. We hope you've enjoyed exploring the world of Jewish Christmas with us.